Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. And we're in Exodus chapter 24 and 25 today. We as a congregation have been going through the book of Exodus, and we are all the way to the end of chapter 24 and the beginning of 25. And so I'll be reading Exodus 24, verses 12 to the end, and then into 25 through verse 9. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Exodus 24, verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." And Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in the dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed in red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Exodus. In our study of the book of Exodus, we have come to the point where God is going to give the Israelites instructions as to how they shall build the tabernacle. These instructions and the actual act of carrying out these instructions take up the vast majority of the rest of the book. 15 chapters, Exodus 25 through the end of Exodus 40. And in these next few weeks, as I preach through this section, it is not my intention to preach on every specific item that is listed and is set for the tabernacle. But instead, it is my hope and plan that I will be able to preach tabernacle areas, a sermon describing the Holy of Holies and what items are in the Holy of Holies, a sermon describing the holy place and what is in the holy place and what all of that represented, and finally, a sermon about the courtyard and the altar that is placed within the courtyard. But before we get to that section describing the building of the tabernacle and what all of the things that were in the tabernacle represented, I think it is important that this morning, as we start out, we should have a sermon on what is the tabernacle. Why did God give the tabernacle to the children of Israel, and what purpose did it serve for them and for God's people? And so this morning we begin not in Exodus 24 and 25, but it's helpful for us to begin at the beginning of Scripture, in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we read of how God created the heavens and the earth, how the Lord gave a garden to Adam and Eve in which they were to live and to tend, and how as they lived in that garden, God dwelled with them. But of course, our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, and because they became sinners, no longer could they dwell in this garden where God was and where his presence was. And so God put them out of the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we read this. After God drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. God's presence is represented within that garden. And as Adam and Eve stand outside of that garden, they cannot go into the place where God's presence is. For Adam and Eve are sinners, and God is holy. And after this time, as the scriptures develop through the book of Genesis, we do not see a place where God dwells with his people on the earth. God makes appearances to his people, but he does not dwell with them as he did within this garden. God appears to Abraham in Genesis 15 when God makes a covenant with him. God appears to Jacob as he's running from Esau and as Jacob wrestles with God. In Exodus 3, we read about Moses who comes to Mount Sinai and meets God's presence in the burning bush. And Moses is afraid, yet God gives him instructions to deliver the children of Israel. And as we have come to Exodus chapter 24 and 25, we see something unique happening which has not happened before in the history of the world. God's presence is known on Mount Sinai, and God is making an appearance not to just one person, but to a whole nation. God's presence is there on the mountain. The people are afraid as they stand before God. Look again at verse 16 and 17 of chapter 24. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the 7th day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. And to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. The children of Israel stand before this mountain where God's presence is, with the glory cloud on top of it, and they cannot go near this mountain. For God's presence is there, God's holiness is there, and they as sinners stand before that mountain, as Adam and Eve stood before the entrance to the Garden of Eden, and they see fire. Consuming fire, which will destroy them as sinners as they stand before a holy God if they try to enter the presence of God as sinners. And so, as we look at Exodus 24 and the description of this mountain, we see God's appearance to his people. We see the people standing before God in fear, and we see the separation of God from his people. Why can God's people not dwell with him as they did in the garden? Because they are sinners and God is holy. But our text this morning takes us a step further, doesn't it? For in Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, we read these words, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." God has a plan for the children of Israel. He has given them instructions and will give them instructions as to how they will build a tabernacle. And why the tabernacle? What is the purpose of a tabernacle to be built? So that God will dwell among his people. Can you think of anything more glorious than that? Sinners standing before Mount Sinai and God's presence on the mountain, trembling with fear at his holiness. Yet God will dwell with those sinners. The creator of the world, the creator of the heavens and the earth, of the universe, will dwell with these people, these sinners. But how will God dwell with them? We read that they are to build a sanctuary and a tabernacle. And there are those who think that when they read of this, that when God appeared to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, he left them at Mount Sinai. God stayed at Mount Sinai on the mountain, and they went on their way, and they simply recalled and remembered what happened at Mount Sinai, but nothing like that happened afterwards. But if you turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, you'll read that God tells us something through the writer of Hebrews about this whole situation. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, we read this. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown on the mountain. The tabernacle that the Israelites are to build is to be according to the pattern that was shown to them on the mountain. They are not leaving the mountain behind. They are not leaving what God has shown them on this mountain behind at Mount Sinai. But God is going to take what happened on Mount Sinai and send it along with them. Turn back once again to Exodus 24. In last week's sermon, as we went through the first half of Exodus 24, we saw the covenant ceremony taking place on Mount Sinai. And in Exodus 24, verse 4, we read this. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Here we read of the description of what takes place at the base of the mountain. Not on the mountain, but in front of the mountain. Young Israelite men, common Israelite men, not leaders, not priests, common Israelite men are bringing their burnt offerings and their young bulls and their fellowship offerings, and they're sacrificing them on the altars before the Lord. As God will give instructions concerning the tabernacle, God will give to them a place called the courtyard. And in the courtyard, there will be an altar of which the Israelites, the common people, not the priests, not the leaders, not Moses, not Aaron, the common people will come and make offerings before the Lord. Now look at verse 9 of chapter 24. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Moses and Aaron and his sons and the 70 elders of Israel have gone to the base of the mountain. They are on the mountain, but not at the top of the mountain. If you remember last week's sermon, we talked about the pavement of sapphire and the feet of God of which they saw. They are not looking at God face to face on top of the mountain. They are at the lower end of the mountain, and there they see the feet of God and the heavenly pavement as God's feet are there. They sit before God in the lower portion of the mountain, and they eat and they drink. As God will give instructions concerning the tabernacle, there will be a courtyard and there will be a holy place. And in that holy place, the common people may not go. But the Levites and the priests may go. The leaders of Israel will go. And there they will eat bread from the table of showbread and drink in the holy place before God. And finally, as our chapter concludes in chapter 24, verse 15, we read this. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. On the top of the mountain, we read of God's glory cloud settling there. No one may go to this place. None of the 70 elders, not even Aaron. But Moses alone, we read in verse 15 and verse 18, goes. Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain. Moses went up with the commandments, where he received the commandments from the Lord. Moses could be in the presence of God. And as the Israelites build their tabernacle, there will be a place called the Most Holy Place, the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest once a year may enter that place. That is the place where God's glory cloud will settle. Once a year in this holy place may a high priest enter. As we look at the pattern of the mountain that takes place in Exodus 24, we are seeing the pattern of the tabernacle. The Israelites are not leaving the tabernacle behind at Mount Sinai. They do not approach Mount Sinai and take part in the covenant in Exodus 24 and then leave it there and go on with their lives and simply remember it. God has them build a sanctuary and a tabernacle that will be with them, that they will take along with them, that will be at the center of their camp. It will be the center point of their lives, and they will not leave it behind. But God and His glorious covenant, God and His glorious presence will be at the middle of their camp, and He will dwell with them. This is the sanctuary and the tabernacle that God is building, that God will have them build as He gives His specific instructions. And in the words of verse 9, exactly like the pattern that I will show you. God, the Creator of the heavens and earth, will dwell with a people, will dwell with a sinful people. And He will go with them from this place in all of His glory. He will wander with them in the wilderness. He will enter the promised land with them. But yet, as God leaves them, as God goes with them, and as they leave this place, this is still falling short of what God needs to do. God has them make this tabernacle because He loves them. Not because they deserve it. Not because they are a good people. God is faithful to His covenant, and God will dwell with them. But when an enemy attacks, how can God, in this tabernacle, completely understand and know what they are experiencing? How can God, who is in this tabernacle, experience the hunger and the thirst that they will face in this wilderness? How can God, as His presence is in this tabernacle, completely know and understand what it is like walking in that hot sun in the desert? And as we look at their nearness to God, the common people continue to be away from God. They come and they bring their offerings in the courtyard, but they may not enter the holy place. They come and they bring their offerings, but they may not go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence is. Yes, this tabernacle is a glorious, glorious thing. But this tabernacle still pales in comparison to the tabernacle that God would send in the fullness of time. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, we read this. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. The Greek word for lived for a while among us literally means tabernacled among us. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Yes, in the tabernacle that God sends with His people, God is with them. His presence is with them in the center of this camp. But God still is not as close to them as what He needs to be. For God would send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He would tabernacle with His people. He would live on this same earth that we live. He would live and suffer just as we suffer. He would face temptation. He would face hunger. He would experience thirst. He would experience those who hate Him. He would experience suffering and physical pain. And He would experience death, even death on a cross. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God has sent a far more glorious tabernacle. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God has humbled Himself, sending Him down from the throne room of God to dwell on this same earth in which we dwell, to experience all the things that His people would experience. Why? Is it because God needed to do it? Is it because He felt He had an obligation? God did this because He loves His people. God did this not because His people deserved it, but out of His grace and His mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ came and lived and suffered all of these things so that we may have hope, so that we may have life. And in Jesus, this tabernacle, this Old Testament tabernacle, is no more. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, we read about another mountain. And Jesus' disciples and Jesus are on this mountain in Luke chapter 9. And in verse 28, we read this. About 8 days after Jesus said this, He took Peter, John, and James with Him, and He went on to a mountain to pray. As He was praying, the appearance of His face changed, and His clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about His departure, which He was about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw His glory and the two men standing with Him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to Him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what He was saying. The disciples see Jesus and Elijah and Moses on the mountain. And once again, they want to put provisional shelters upon the earth. They want to again build a shelter, a tabernacle, to represent their dwelling on this earth. But in verse 34, we read this. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. When the cloud came on the Mount of Transfiguration and they had seen Moses and Elijah, there was no more. There was only Jesus, God's Son. There needs to be no more provisional earthly shelters. We do not need to go back to a tabernacle once again. For in Jesus, God's Son, we have the true tabernacle. We have what the first tabernacle failed to do. There is no courtyard in this tabernacle. There is no courtyard for the Gentiles, and a courtyard for the women, and a courtyard for the priests. Everyone can enter. Everyone can go into this Holy of Holies. Everyone can go to Jesus, for he has opened the way so that we have access to the throne of grace, so that we know that he has dwelled with us and continues to dwell with us in our lives, so that we know that by his grace alone, not of ourselves, we are his and belong to him. Yes, this Old Testament tabernacle that was made was glorious for the Israelites. But in Jesus we have a far more glorious tabernacle, a tabernacle which is in him alone, a tabernacle which comes to us by his grace. Amen. Father in heaven, as we read of these verses in Exodus 24 and 25, we see what a wonderful pattern this is of the mountain, for we see the holiness of God and the sinfulness of his people. We see the distance that there is between God and between sinners. We see how by your grace you dwelled with them in the tabernacle. But yet, Lord, in Jesus we have so much more. We thank you, Lord, that he has come to this earth and tabernacled with us in a far greater way. We're thankful, Lord, that no matter what we face in this life, we know that Jesus has gone ahead of us and faced it already. We thank you, Lord, that as we pray to him, there is no distance. But we know that he understands us. We know that he has lived with us. We know that he brings us into your presence so that our prayers are heard. We pray, O God, that you would help us to recognize and live out this glorious hope and this glorious truth. We pray, O God, that our hearts and our lives would be centered on him and the grace that he has given us, and that we would find your comfort and hope each and every day in him. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.